Well, it was love at first sight when South African Yolandi Afeermark first laid eyes on a wombat back in 2013, which is just as well because the Australian creature needs all the friends it can get. Wombat populations are increasingly threatened by developments as well as a fatal disease. In the ACT, Yolandi has become a saviour after a profound change in her own life set her on a new path. Yolandi is the founder and president of the group Wombat Rescue and is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Yolandi, it's great to have you here in our Parliament House studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
So tell me about this. So you're originally from South Africa.
Yeah.
Where did you first clap eyes on a wombat?
Well, I guess it was very shortly after we arrived, probably about 6 months after we landed in Australia. And of course, you know, in South Africa, you don't have wildlife just roaming around like you do in Australia. You have to go to a national park to see them. So we visited a zoo in Batemans Bay and there was a tiny wombat baby, Joey, and they allowed us to hold it, which was just love at first sight, like you said.
Can you explain why?
I can't. I honestly cannot tell you. It's holding that little creature, which I've never seen before except for dead ones on the side of the road. It never occurred to me, seeing a dead wombat, that this is a species that I would one day become to love as much. But holding that little thing, just it moved something in me.
Sometimes we don't know where life is quite heading for us or why certain experiences that seem completely disconnected unfold in a particular order. About 3 months later, your husband was given a very serious diagnosis. What happened there?
Yeah, so very shortly after we arrived, he got sick and he was diagnosed with leukemia. So obviously my encounter with the wombat became a little bit of a distant memory because for 12 months after his diagnosis, it was a very big roller coaster of hospital treatment and eventually he passed away 12 months after diagnosis.
Oh, Yolandi.
And then I guess I remembered that little Joey because I was in a pretty dark place back then and I felt I needed to do something to survive, to just to keep me out of this really dark space of pain and heartbreak. And I decided to just find anyone. Where is there a wombat that I can come and help with? So there was a sanctuary that I started volunteering with. And it was initially just to survive, but eventually I just started to feel alive and I felt this is something I want to do more. Also, so many orphans were coming in to the sanctuary, lots of babies from mums getting hit on the road. So I started to think something is going on out there. I want to get involved in this a bit more. So I started to do road rescues on my own in rural New South Wales mostly and started to do a lot of rescue work, a lot of finding adult females, babies get hit, bring them into care, rescue them. And I started documenting what I was doing on Facebook just to keep track, basically like a diary, an online diary. And I was very surprised when people started following me and getting really interested in what I was doing. And because there was a very small online presence, someone once reached out to me one day saying, I have seen this mangy wombat and I had no idea what mange was. So that became another really fast roller coaster journey of learning everything I could about mange. And I just, from there, our organization was born and it's just grown from there to a one woman band, essentially me, racing across the state to an organization now that has about 80 volunteers and we do a lot of work around rescues, assessments, mange treatment mostly. So, yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
Did it give you hope?
It gave me hope for me. I survived. It gave me hope for the species because once you see a baby wombat, like I did the first time, you have absolutely no idea what's going on in the world. You just sit with this little animal and you think it's very cute and cuddly and everyone smiles and takes photos and you go on your merry way and that's it. But once you start to work with them, you then encounter the actual sort of behind the scenes things that they encounter in the wild, you know, all the things that they have to do to survive, which is quite significant in terms of all the man-made things, hurdles we put in their way, and then also obviously nature, sort of drought and bushfires and floods and all of that that they deal with. And they have a pretty rough life out there. So for us to have a group in Canberra, and we are the only group in Canberra that does mange treatment at the moment. So knowing the impact we have, we treat around, I think for this year alone, we've treated about 60 wombats already with mange. So, you know, there's a huge impact and it's visible. And I feel like we can probably do something more and we can save the species. I think if we didn't do this, they do face a decline. So I'm hopeful that we can make more impact.
How and why do wombats get mange and how do you treat it?
So mange is an introduced parasite. Settlers brought it to Australia about 230 years ago. So unfortunately, it's not something wombats have any resistance to. It's also something that every country deals with. Mange is like scabies in humans, so it's a parasite. And initially, it was probably spread by domestic animals to wildlife. Now it's being spread by foxes. We have a really big fox problem. Mm. But it's also being spread by wombats. So if there's an infected wombat, they do go into each other's burrows, or there's mating or fighting or something happening like that. So it's incredibly infectious and contagious, so they keep spreading it.
So how do you treat it, Yolandi?
We've got two ways to treat it. So we've got two types of medicine. One is just a spot on for dogs. We call it Bravecto. And if I have a wombat in my sight, we can just use that. It's very, very expensive. So it's very costly for us to do that type of treatment, but very effective. Mm. And you only need 2 to 3 doses of that. So $85 a dose is normally what we pay for it. We can't afford to do that in the field. So when we know that there's a big area, say on the Murrumbidgee River, that is affected by mange, we have a very different approach. So we call that population treatment. So we actually then go into the field, never seeing the wombats, but knowing they're there by mapping all their burrows. So we map this on foot and we do like a geolocation of each map, of each burrow. And then we build a device called a burrow flap, which is essentially just a little steel frame with an ice cream lid hanging onto it.
High tech.
Yeah, very high tech. And we install this in front of the burrow entrance, so it blocks the wombat from coming out. And then there's a little bit of medicine inside the cup. And essentially, every single burrow in the area gets this cup of medicine, regardless of whether they're sick or not, because we've established that there's mange in the area. Mm. And then the wombat self-medicates. When they come out at night, they lift the flap because they have to walk underneath, and the medicine spills onto their back, so they self-medicate.
Perfect.
Yeah, and we use Sidectin, which is a cattle drench.
What about on the road? Last year, I was coming back from the coast with my nephews. It's about 2.5 hour drive back to Canberra, and we started seeing a lot of dead wombats on the road, more than we'd ever seen before. You normally see one or two. We counted 55 on the way back. What's going on?
Look, there's a few reasons why there's a lot of wombats getting hit. Usually it's after drought when there's grass getting mowed on the side of the road. So it's greener, it's a bit more lush. There's also water catchment. So when it rains, water does run off on the road. Mm. So the grass on the side of the road is always a bit greener and it does attract them. And of course, we've built all these roads across their little highways that they use. So whether it rains or not, there will always be wombats getting hit on these highways.
These young wombats that you're talking about dealing with, I've seen some videos of them. They run zoomies like no other creature.
They do.
They're big personalities, aren't they?
They have incredible personalities. I think once you've sat down with a little wombat that's used to be in care and they are playful, I've seen so many people change their view on wombats, because normally people just think of them as something distant out there. I've maybe seen one or twice. But when you meet them and see how boisterous they can become, and their personalities are just like humans. Some are shy, some are very outgoing and extroverted, some are just really playful, some are just absolutely silly. So it's a real treat sitting with them, just seeing how silly they can get.
When you arrived in Australia from South Africa all those years ago, could you ever have imagined the turns that your life has taken since you've been here?
No, gosh, no. I mean, working with animals has been something I have done. I've rescued all sorts of little birds since I was 6 years old. It's just been in my blood, in my DNA, to do rescue work. But like I said, animals in South Africa are in national parks. You can't you can't deal with them, you can't work with them. Also, they also want to kill you.
Yeah, there are quite a few.
They're a bit bigger. But I've had this amazing love for nature and animals since I was really little. So coming to this country was such a blessing to realize, hang on a second, they're just there. There's a kangaroo there, there's a parrot there, there's a wombat. And I can actually become involved. So I was really blessed to be able to do this and being allowed by this country to do. And I feel like me doing this is my way of giving back. This country has welcomed me and my family with open arms. So this is our way of just giving back and in the wake of that, also saving a species.
Landy, it's been lovely to have you on the program and in the studio as well. You have such a sense of palpable sense of joy and calm about you.
Thank you.
Which suggests that you might be on the right path with this. It's certainly something that you're keen to pursue and very passionate about. Thank you so much for coming in this
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
Landy Fearmark is founder and president of Wombat Rescue. And if you have a suggestion for changing Australia, there must be someone that you know in your community or your circles. You can send in a name and a description via abc.net.au/changingaustralia.